Jeff Blair loves to commute. Let him join you on yours. Subscribe to podcasts of The Jeff Blair Show at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Maybe when you write a national bestseller, you'll get your own sports show. Until then, this is The Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
So we had a meeting this morning, a pre-show prep meeting. We're trying. The question was asked by Brett Armstrong, our technical director, and Travis McKenzie, the producer. Know any sad songs from Winnipeg or about Winnipeg? Sad songs about Winnipeg. I got a lot of sad songs about Winnipeg. The Winnipeg Jets, of course, the unofficial team of the Jeff Blair Show, although now it will be the Chicago Blackhawks or Minnesota Wild. Down 3-0 to the Anaheim Ducks. Similar story last night to the two previous games. Can't hang on to the lead. Anaheim looks awfully good. And keep thinking back to what Eddie Olchuk said on this show last week about this series and how it was going to feel like a 10-game series because of the physical nature of it. I've got to admit, I've been really impressed with the way the Anaheim Ducks have pushed back against the Jets. And speaking of Eddie Olchuk, he will join us later on in the show. Shai Davidi as well. But out of the gate, we're going to talk playoffs. And we're going to talk conspiracy theories about the NHL draft. They're still going on. Greg Wyshynski, Puck Daddy as we lovingly refer to him. Greg Wyshynski joins us out of the gate. And we'll get your take in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Which series has got the most of your attention so far?
The Jeff Blair Show is on the air on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Join the conversation with Jeff on Twitter using the hashtag Blair Show or call 416-870-0590. Now, here's Jeff Blair.
This isn't fair.
Guess who sucked? The Jets were lousy anyway. The same route every day. And in the turning lane, someone stalled again. He's talking to himself, and hears the price of gas repeat his phrase. I hate Winnipeg.
Okay, we're having a little fun here. I mean, I've already got the city of Edmonton upsetting me. I don't need Winnipeg. This is a Winnipeg band, by the way. So it's tongue-in-cheek. This is tongue-in-cheek, people! This is tongue-in-cheek. This isn't serious. All right, enough of the I hate Winnipeg stuff. It's actually One Great City is the name of the song by the Weaker Thans. A fine, fine Winnipeg band. The Jetties down 3-0. I think a lot of us thought this series was going to go the distance, that it was going to be a long, hard series. It's been hard, but it doesn't look like it's going to be a very long series, to say the least. Greg Wyshynski, editor of the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports, co-host of the Merrick versus Wyshynski podcast, and sundry other things. Far too many to mention. Greg Wyshynski joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. I want to get to the conspiracy theory about the draft lottery in a minute, Greg, because I think the NHL missed, as I wrote at Sportsnet, I think the NHL missed a golden chance to fix the lottery. but that's beside, we'll deal with that later on. The big story, the return of playoff hockey to Winnipeg. I mean, the playoffs are always a big story, but I think in this country, this is kind of a special story. Crowd was great. Atmosphere was tremendous. But you know what? I'm beginning to think, it was weird. There were a lot of people, Greg, who were saying that the Jets had a shot against Anaheim. And I'm beginning to think maybe people, if you can do this, I'm beginning to think we may have undersold the Anaheim Ducks a little bit.
I think we undersold the ability of some of their big players to step up in the playoffs, to be honest with you. I think Getzlaff and Perry had been as good as I've seen them in this playoff series. I think Kessler is starting to creep towards that beast mode that we saw him in a few years ago. And as you said last night, I mean, he is He's like the big fear monster from the Green Lantern movie.
Yes.
Like, the more you boo him and jeer him and tell him he sucks, the better he gets. And I thought that was a great example of that last night. And they're getting good, if not decent, goaltending from Anderson. If nothing else, better goaltending than what Winnipeg's getting. If there's one thing that I think maybe was lost on the way into the playoffs in Winnipeg was the fact that Andre Pavlik is still not a very good goaltender. And while you can't hang every goal he's given up in the series on the guy, the bottom line is that when he's needed to make a save in the series, he's been unable to make it, and it's one of the reasons they're down 3-0. Although, I have to say, like you said, the crowd last night was amazing. My cynical eye was trained on the stand looking for the one idiot who showed up in a blue jersey. There wasn't one.
Mm-hmm.
But I do find it interesting that while this is the playoffs and you know, 16 teams make it and every game counts, it appears as though, because Winnipeg has such a great home crowd and because there's been such a gap between playoff series for them, they are the only team that will lose in the first round and get a participation ribbon.
Yeah.
The stories written about mm-hmm. the team last night were ridiculous. It's like they're down 3-0 in a playoff series against the Ducks team that, frankly, is good but not great. And all the stories were, well, you know, they're probably going to get swept, but the crowd was great, and they finally made the playoffs. So here's your participation ribbon to Winnipeg.
In conversation with Greg Wyshynski on the Jeff Blair Show. And I found it interesting that Gary Bettman was in Winnipeg yesterday. I mean, you know, he's gone from being public enemy, or he went from being public enemy in Winnipeg to, you know, one of the most welcome visitors of all time. But I found it interesting because he talked about the NHL, you know, the situation in Vegas and the possibility of the NHL going to Vegas. And it really occurred to me that one of the real stories of the Jets going back to Winnipeg was just how their ownership group, if there's a template for how you go about navigating the backroom political channels of the NHL, it was provided by the Jets. I mean, there was no drama. You know, there was no Jim Balsillie nonsense. There were no, you know, no court cases. I mean, it was just, here's what we want to do. Here's how we're going to go about doing it. This is our time frame, and we'll get back to you when we're, you know, when it's all lined up. And I really get the sense, Greg, that they're trying to do that in Vegas, and that makes me think Vegas is going to be successful in getting a franchise.
Yeah, you mean juxtaposed with, say, a certain country in Quebec. I mean, a certain city in Quebec who
yeah.
is building an arena without a team.
Exactly.
Has small armies of fans attending other arenas' games and putting up, bring back the Nordiques banners.
Yeah, it's not the way you know, do
there's a way to do it and a way not to do it. But, you know, here's the thing. I agree with you on Vegas, and I think the Vegas thing is as much the NHL trying to convince its own board of governors to put a team there as it is Bill Foley trying to attract an expansion team to Vegas. I think the NHL is much more activist in trying to make this market work than I think they have been in a lot of expansion situations. And I agree with you. I mean, I think it's now inevitable because they did hit that ticket target without having to bring in the casinos, without having to bring in corporate support. I do think that's going to have an effect on the rest of the Board of Governors and show them that this could be a viable market. But the real interesting thing is, for me at least, is that if we go down this road, and the latest reports are it would be 2017-18, for expansion to Vegas, well, you still have the 16-14 split right now in the league. What do? Do you add a second expansion team along with Vegas? If it is a second expansion team, do they have enough time to push through the bureaucracy and make it Seattle, which is where they really want to go? Or is there going to be another team that we don't know about added along with Vegas? Because I can't imagine they're going to go with just one expansion mm-hmm. team if they do expand.
What series has got your eye? Which series are you focusing on the most?
Well, being in New York, you know, I've seen a lot of the Rangers and Penguins, and that's kind of unfortunate because the series has been pretty bad at times.
Right.
Last night was just classic 1990s trap hockey all over the ice. I do think, though, the series that's really made me the happiest is that Vancouver-Calgary series, not only because there's an old-time hockey element. I mean, we saw what passes for a line brawl in 2015 the other night.
Mm-hmm.
But also because you have this savvy veteran team in Vancouver. You have the upstarts in Calgary. It's just a really nice little narrative that's playing out. And the fact that it is the upstarts, the fact that it is the kids that are winning this series so far even makes it better. I mean, Calgary is a fun, fun team to watch. And the more you watch them and then you think about what happened on Saturday night, you say to yourself, oh boy, here we go. It's the 1980s all over again. Calgary and Edmonton every year for the division title.
You are in New York, and of course that raises the Capitals and Islanders series. A little bit of nastiness in that series. Kind of a nasty tinge to it, isn't there?
There is a bit, and part of it is a little bit of trash talk coming from Ovechkin about the Islanders fans, and you know, as he's wont to do. But to me, the biggest story in the series is the Capitals once again playing like the Capitals. And I was thinking about this last night and watching the Ducks, and the fact that you see Perry and Getzlaf and Silverberg and Kessler and all these guys stepping up in the series against a team that a lot of people are picking to upset them just by virtue of the fact that it's a Bruce Boudreau team, and he's so synonymous with playoff disappointment. Well, this time Boudreau's team's come to play, and they're knocking out the underdog. Meanwhile, the Capitals, his old stead, his old players there, can't seem to get out of their way sometimes against the Islanders team, against whom I think they were favored. So maybe it was the players, Jeff. I mean,
right.
Barry Trotz's post-game press conferences are a repeat of everything I've seen with this team for the last several years. Why are we doing things now that we didn't do in the regular season? What happened to the short passes? Why does every pass have to be one where they're trying to score three goals on the next shot? You know, it's the constant problems with this team over the years, and I think a lot of it is revisiting them again. They've given the Islanders the lead in all three games. It's completely inexcusable in a playoff series.
In conversation with Greg Wyshynski, editor of the Puck Daddy blog on Yahoo Sports, 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590 are the numbers as we ask you the same question we asked Greg Wyshynski. Which series has got your attention? Now, to the conspiracy theory, as written about on the Puck Daddy blog. See, here's my thing. And I got a lot of grief in this in Edmonton, but I think the NHL should have rigged it so that Connor McDavid end up here in Toronto. Putting on my parochial hat for a minute. I think they should have rigged the draft. I think this is where this is where you get the maximum value for Connor McDavid. But what I'm interested in is the sort of the logistics of the draft, because I watched it, and you point out, you talk about the Gary Bettman video, which really is, I mean, I understand why he was doing it, but it's the height of absurdity. And, you know, I realize when it's done, I'm going, I still have no idea how the hell this is going to work. Like, sequences, and I know I was exchanging emails and tweets with Mike Harrington of the Buffalo. Harrington goes, would you know what they're doing if you were in there? I said, of course not. I don't understand the sequencing thing. But tell me about the latest conspiracy theory about the double ball being sucked up in the vacuum. That's about the only way to describe it.
I will say this. If there are folks out there who haven't seen the full 9-minute video,
gotta watch it.
You've got to watch. The moment in which Gary Bettman is informed that Edmonton is going to draft Connor McDavid, it is as if a Death Eater from Harry Potter swooped into the room and ate his soul.
Exactly.
I've been more disappointed in anything in life. But the conspiracy theory is this. The explicit and meticulous instructions by Gary Bettman in this video say, every 10 seconds, this numbskull is going to press a button, okay? And when he presses a button, the ball will pop up, and that is the ball they select, and he's going to do it four times, and those four numbers will dictate who drafts Connor McDavid. So on the first try, this guy presses the button quite clearly twice, and two buttons get sucked up in the little tube. He picks the one that's on top. The other button falls back down, or the other ball falls back down. And so the conspiracy theory put forward by someone on Reddit is, the second ball should have counted. He pressed the button twice. The second ball should have counted. And if the second ball did count, of course, Sabres would have drafted Connor McDavid. Now, having seen my share of lotteries, thanks to my father playing every week, because as you know, Jeff, you've got to be in it to win it, I know for a fact that it is the ball that comes up the little sucky tube and they take out the ball with their hands. That's the ball that counts. So I don't put too much credence into this conspiracy theory that they botched the draft. But I will say this. After watching 9 minutes of Gary Bettman trying to do everything in his power to lend transparency to the process, clear any doubt about anything, the fact that the NHL still found a way to have somebody say, this thing is wrong, it got screwed up, and the Sabres got jobbed, is a pretty impressive feat.
It is tremendous, and I just, as you were talking, I'm just looking at the video again. It's true. Gary Bettman's face is, oh, No.
Yeah, but both him and Daly, when Daly pulled the envelope and when Bettman heard the numbers and who gets McDavid, in both cases, as I wrote on Puck Daddy yesterday, it's as if they were crushed under an avalanche of mismanagement and market obscurity and sub-zero degree temperatures for the next 15 years. It was quite a sight. I'm glad it was documented.
Yeah, absolutely. I still don't get the sequencing thing, but anyhow. I point out in Sportsnet, look, I mean, the NBA lives on conspiracy theories. I mean, my God, the frozen envelope, the creased envelope with Patrick Ewing. I mean, there's a way to pull this off if you want to do it right.
If you want to do it right. And I think in hindsight, I mean, Toronto being what it is, and I'm sure that McDavid and Toronto would have been an amazing story for all of us for various reasons. I think the real situation here is anywhere but Edmonton in hindsight. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think we would all be okay with Carolina at this point.
Sure.
Maybe even Arizona at this point.
Yep.
But the fact that it's the Oilers and the fact that already they're in Gloatsville about getting McDavid just makes you mental. So anywhere but Edmonton would have been my answer to fixing the draft, but Toronto would have been a lot of fun too.
Mr. Wyshynski, it's great talking to you. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and we'll be in touch.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Thanks. That's Greg Wyshynski. He's editor of the Puck Daddy blog. And yeah, I'm sorry. I'm still looking at it really is true. Gary Bettman and Bill Daly's faces are, what? Huh? Edmonton? Greg Wyshynski's editor of the Puck Daddy blog and Yahoo Sports. He is, of course, also co-host of Merrick versus Wyshynski, the podcast, which you can find on our very, very fine website. I give you a rundown of the schedule for hockey tonight. Hockey Central's pregame will be at 6:30 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario. Lightning and Red Wings, Game 3. That series is tied 1-1. That will be on Sportsnet Ontario at 7 o'clock. Caps and Islanders, Game 4. That will be at 7:30 p.m. on Sportsnet 360. The Preds and the Blackhawks, Game 4. Chicago up 2-1, 9:30 p.m. in Sportsnet Ontario. And then the Canucks and the Flames, Game 4. Calgary leading that series 2-1. And it has been a brutal series. That game will be at 10 p.m. on the CBC. The Canadiens and the Senators have the night off. They will get back at it tomorrow. Game 4 in that series will be tomorrow on CBC. We will, of course, have baseball for you tonight on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Blue Jays and Orioles. Mark Burley in the mound against Bud Norris. Blue Jays Central live with Jamie Campbell and Greg Zahn on Sportsnet 1. First pitch will be just after 7 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 1. And then Mike Wilner will take your calls, voice permitting. Mike Wilner will take your calls after the game on the Blue Jays talking Sportsnet 590 The Fan. So, want to continue our playoff discussion for a couple of minutes. Shai Davidi is going to join us in a few seconds. Want to continue our playoff discussion. Which series has got your attention? You heard Greg Wyshynski say, because he's in the New York area, the Rangers-Penguins series. And I've got to tell you, I watched part of that. It really was dull hockey. It really was like a throwback game in terms of the trapping and just the way the game was played. A different series than any other series. I have to admit that, you know, obviously I'm watching the Blackhawks, the Preds, and I'm watching the Jets. The series that kind of got my attention a little bit, though, is the Minnesota Wild and the St. Louis Blues, because I think the Blues are going down, and that is remarkable. If they go down, they will have not won a playoff series. I believe they will have not won a playoff series under Ken Hitchcock. That team, their window of opportunity it's still going to be open for a while, but, man, they have wasted so many years and so much good talent in that team. They just can't get over the hump in the playoffs. That series has kind of got my attention. I like a lot of the players on the Wild. Been a big Zach Parise fan from the get-go. That, to me, is a series that has kind of surprised me. Paul in Toronto, you're on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you're on the Jeff Blair Show. Paul, which series has got your attention so far in the playoffs?
Well, Jeff, I just got back from the airport. I was in Winnipeg last night.
Oh, you were?
I was, yeah. So definitely the Jets Ducks. I'm a former Winnipegger. I was at the 96 game against Detroit, the last whiteout.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you right now that last night was, it was just incredible. It was very similar to 96. You couldn't hear yourself talk. amazing atmosphere. Horrible ending, obviously, but but just great to be there. I couldn't say enough about the fans last night.
Yeah, it's I think people. It was strange because I went back and looked at. Eddie Olczyk's speech after that loss to Detroit in 96 and after the last game was played in Winnipeg. And of course, Eddie Olczyk got up and made the speech about we're going to bring the Stanley Cup back to Winnipeg. And it was interesting because obviously it's a sad occasion. As I said, the last hockey game in Winnipeg, with the old arena not there anymore. But there was it was interesting. There was kind of a... In some ways, it was more of a party than a wake, or I should say more of a party than it was a funeral. Maybe it was just a wake. I don't know. But there was an interesting feel to that. There was disappointment and there was upset, but there was a different feel to it. People really were remembering some good times, weren't they?
Yeah, it was a party-like atmosphere last night. And that was the big difference between last night and 96. 96, you knew that they were gone. But now that they're back and they're putting a competitive team on the ice, you sort of feel as if this isn't going to be the last time anymore. They're going to be in the playoffs for many years to come. And what you're seeing on the ice now is an inexperienced team. And I think the fans last night sort of get that.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're losing in the most heartbreaking fashion possible, there's this feeling of hope. And I think that's the biggest difference between yesterday and from 96. So people are just looking forward to more times like last night, which is what everyone expects.
Paul, I appreciate the call. I'm glad you enjoyed yourself. 416-870-0590, *591, 888-666-0590. If you get a chance, go back and check that footage from that game in 96. I wasn't there. I remember watching it a bit on TV. But it's interesting, the atmosphere there. It wasn't quite as doom. It wasn't quite as doom and gloom as I originally remembered it. There were a lot of tears, obviously, but I think there was a different feel to that particular game. John Whitby, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. What's up, John?
Good morning, Jeff.
How are you?
I'm torn between two series, and I'm watching both of them.
All right, which series are those?
The Kings and the...
The Kings
the
aren't
Jets
in.
And the Canadiens and Ottawa.
Oh, you meant the Ducks. Okay, the Ducks and Jets and the Canadiens and Ottawa.
I am really enjoying both of them, and they're playing tough, both of them.
Yeah, I gotta tell you, I did not think, and I know Glenn Healy felt the same way. If you heard the broadcast the other night, sorry, not Glenn Healy, Mike Johnson. I didn't expect Montreal and Ottawa to be as physical as it's been. That surprised me. I thought they'd be close. I thought there'd be some nastiness, but I mean, there's a lot of physicality in that series.
There is, and I'm surprised Montreal's standing up to it myself.
Well, you know what? I think, John, I think this is it's a different Canadiens team. They're more mature. I think they figured out how to stand up to that. They figured out how not to respond. They've been pretty good in terms of retaliation. And I'm not certain that would have been the case a couple of years ago. I'll use P.K. Subban as an example. P.K. Subban still does stuff that drives you nuts. I really wish he'd stop jumping around on the ice after every penalty. But at the same time, I'm not seeing sort of the petulance from Montreal I used to see. And even last year, it seems as if that team really has grown up in front of us. And it makes sense because, I mean, it's basically the core group, right? There have been some pieces added and some pieces subtracted, but basically it's the core group. And I just can't say enough about the way guys like Brendan Gallagher are playing and Galchenyuk, just the way that they focus on what they have to do. It would be very easy for the Canadiens to lose focus in that series, to start running around, and I've been really impressed with how they've managed to maintain that focus. And as John said, stand up to the physical nature of Ottawa. That is a bit of a surprise. And maybe I haven't seen enough of the Canadiens. But I think this notion that you can try to run the Canadiens through the boards may have to be reevaluated a bit. Ben in Mississauga, you're on the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 Fan. Which series has caught your attention?
Morning, Jeff. Thanks for taking my call. I've waited all year to talk about my Hawks with you, buddy.
I've
waited all year. Sorry, my condolences on your Jets. I know they're not out right away, but
I can't wait for
them to be out so we can go Hawks full throttle the rest of the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know what to make of the Hawks, man. I have no clue what to make of them.
In my opinion, I mean, I know it's been a big push for the Canadian teams in this playoffs, but to me, Jonathan Toews continuously is doing what he is known to do. I know everyone wanted to crown the Kings, but now that they're out, I mean, if you look at him, he's continuously raised his team to the next level to keep transitioning the roster. He's still there. There was a big hubbub when Kane went down. I believe they only lost 4 games in that span, and Jonathan Toews just stepped up his game again and again. This is the true Canadian hero of the playoffs. I hope Canada gets behind him and the Hawks. Thanks, Jeff.
I appreciate the call. I don't know if that will happen. I mean, if you listen to the show, I admit that I've got a bit of a man crush on Jonathan Toews. I admit it. Winnipeg kid, love the way he plays. You know, with all due respect to Sidney Crosby, probably the most, is this the right word? Maybe the winningest hockey player we've had in the last 15 years. Do you think about it? You think about those world junior championships. You think about the Olympic gold medals. You think about the Stanley Cup. Think about his performance in that shootout in the World Juniors. He might be the winningest hockey player we've had in this country, gosh, in more than a decade. And that is, I mean, that's saying something. But it's an interesting discussion to have. Who is the winningest? Who's the winningest Canadian hockey player of the last decade? Could very well be Jonathan Toews. The Blue Jays get back at it today after an off day yesterday. Some news, perhaps. We'll get a further explanation of Devin Travis's status today. We'll get, I guess, a little bit of clarification about Jose Reyes. John Gibbons saying on Sunday Jose Reyes will be able to play, but only batting from the right side. I don't know if that means there's plan afoot the platoon him. I would imagine he'd just bat right-handed against both righties and lefties. So some issues with the middle of the infield. Shai Davidi's our MLB insider on Sportsnet, and Shai Davidi will join us. We're going to talk a little baseball when the Jeff Blair Show continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, we're back. No idea where that came from. Hey, we're back is such a non-Jeff Blair thing to say, but nonetheless. There you go. Matt Devlin, the play-by-play voice of the Raps, will join us at 10 o'clock. Eddie Olchuk of the NHL and NBC, he'll be along at 10:35. We'll get your Raptors calls as well in the next hour, ahead of Game 2 of the Raptors-Wizards series. In case you haven't heard, by the way, the Raps and Wizards, the fourth game of the series in Washington, has been changed to a 6:30 p.m. start. So, there you go. The reason that's significant is that we at Sportsnet 590 The Fan are giving you a chance to go on the road with the Raptors, thanks to our good friends at Porter Escapes. This is a great, great trip put together by our promo department. A round-trip flight from Billy Bishop to Dulles International, courtesy of Porter Escapes. 3 nights hotel at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. downtown hotel, which is out of this world. Very cool hotel. 4 tickets to see the Raptors play the Wizards on Friday. 4 tickets to see the Raptors play the Wizards on Sunday. So you got Saturday, all day Saturday, to sightsee in D.C. VIP clubhouse access at both games, including unlimited food and drink. And the best thing about this is because that game has been shoved back to 6:30 on Sunday, you got all Sunday as well to sightsee in D.C. This is a great trip. And Dean Blundell and company will announce the grand prize winner Thursday morning. But we are taking qualifiers. Brady and Walker are taking qualifiers. And so is the morning show, Dean Blundell and company. All taking qualifiers for this. So I want the eighth caller through at 416-870-0590, star 590, 1-888-666-0590. Eighth caller will qualify. Eighth caller through will qualify. Whatever. I said eighth caller through will qualify. I was playing, Travis. I was playing around with it. Good Lord. Anyhow, 416-870. Just look at the phone line. 416-870-0590, star 591, 888-666-0590. Eighth caller through qualifies for this great trip. Shai Davidi, our MLB insider and Sportsnet, joins us. That, honest to God, Shai, it's getting so hard to get good help around here.
And say that 10 times fast, eh?
Caller qualify. Eighth caller will qualify. There you go. So the Jays get back at it tonight against the Baltimore Orioles. That game will be on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I guess Shai will wait until John Gibbons' news conference to get the extent of Jose Reyes and or Devin Travis's availability. John Gibbons saying on Sunday, though, that Jose Reyes is just going to bat from one side. I gather that as a switch hitter, the left rib cage area, it hurts him when he bats from the left side. He can get by from the right side. This really does limit his effectiveness a bit, though, doesn't it?
Sure. And, yeah, that's what I've been hearing, too, is that it seems that Reyes is feeling strong enough from the right side of the plate that he'll be able to do that. They'll give it a look and see how it goes in that direction before rushing to DL him. At least that's the indication right now. But it does and it doesn't. I mean, I still think that a right-handed Jose Reyes limited with the cracked rib is probably still a better offensive contributor for you than Ryan Goins. And if he can get by in that way and can still use his legs and still do all the other things that he brings you, I think you're probably better off. So I think from the Blue Jays perspective, that makes some sense if he can pull it off. Just because Ryan Goins has made a lot of gains and made a lot of strides, but he's not an everyday producer at the plate at this point. And I think the Blue Jays could certainly use that right now.
Wouldn't it concern you having, and again, we're not doctors and we're not medical staff, we're not trainers, but I'd be concerned about having Jose in the field with that injury though.
Yeah, but he says that he doesn't feel it at all in the field. The only place that he feels it is at the plate when he's batting left-handed. Mm-hmm. And you know, the thing with like a small crack in the ribs is that there's really nothing you can do with it, right? It's not like you put it in a cast
Yep.
or you can do any of those things. You just have to wait for it to heal. So I think if he can play to pain tolerance and he can still be reasonably effective and not be limited in his swing from the right side of the plate, because clearly it was from the left side of the plate, he was saying it's basically down to one hand, then, you know, you still might be better off and you still might be able to get a player who can give you some production.
In conversation with Shai Davidi on the Jeff Blair Show, as we get ready for this series against the Baltimore Orioles, so far this year, one Blue Jay starting pitcher has turned in seven innings, that being R.A. Dickey. How much of a concern is this for the organization? Look, we understand there's going to be a learning curve with the young guys. It's certainly not always going to be linear. There's not going to be a straight line progression. But Shai, at some point, there has to be some concern about the lack of innings from the starting rotation, isn't there?
Sure. I think at this point, it's fair to already have those concerns because they've already had to make a move to get an extra reliever in Buffalo. And then, as it turns out, Jeff Francis comes in and has to do a lot of mop-up work on the Sunday. So, you know, he was thrown right into the fire. So, yeah, it totally is a concern because you have to think about the long-term viability of your bullpen and all those things. But there's also an element of being at the beginning of the season and things needing some time to stabilize. You know, I think we remember the way the starting rotation finished last year, but we probably don't remember as much of the way it started, and there were a lot of short starts and a lot of concerns and some instability in the rotation last year before things kind of locked in and started getting the regular consistency that the staff ended up delivering. So I think before anything too rash happens, I think there needs to be a bit more of a learning curve and a grace period into the season. But if it continues with the short starts, then something's going to have to be done, because otherwise you're just going to wear your bullpen out. And you can't keep asking your offense to score 7-8 runs a game and have to win that way.
What is the of the current starters, which starting pitcher concerns you the most right now?
Well, I don't know if necessarily concern is the right word, but you look at Aaron Sanchez, you look at Drew Hutchison, you just say, you know, those are two guys that you needed a little bit more from. You know, Drew Hutchison particularly, because he's got a little bit more experience, and while he's a power guy, he's generally been known as someone with good control and good command. And that hasn't quite been there, and quite hasn't been quite as crisp as you might have expected. That one hurts. But the other thing is, you know, Sanchez is, you know, we talked about, you and I have talked about this a fair bit, but he's a guy that, you know, at worst should be, you know, a league average fifth starter.
Mm-hmm.
But with the type of upside he has, can really jump up and be an elite type guy. And the growing pains are to be expected in some ways, but you know, the Blue Jays, after Marcus Stroman went down, really needed him and Daniel Norris to step up. And so the fact that it hasn't quite happened yet, and it's been a little bit of a bumpy entry into the season, I think it's something that's got the Blue Jays thinking, and you know, is rekindling the ongoing conversation about whether they're better off with him in the bullpen or him in the rotation.
The Orioles coming in town, obviously that's going to put the spotlight again on the whole Darren O'Day, Jose Bautista, I was going to say relationship, matchup. And Shai, it kind of interests me. I had a couple of people at the organization tell me they weren't especially thrilled with the fact that Darren O'Day didn't even get a call, as far as we know, from the commissioner's office after throwing behind Jose Bautista. Meanwhile, Marcus Stroman, of course, got a 6-game suspension last year for throwing behind Caleb Joseph. There's a real history between these teams, isn't there? And it's interesting based on what we saw when Tampa Bay was in town, and now with Baltimore coming in town. I mean, we always kind of associate the Yankees and the Red Sox as the teams you like to hate. But the Jays and Orioles and Jays and Rays, in some ways, that there's more nastiness there than there is between the Red Sox and the Yankees and Jays, isn't there?
Sure. Well, I mean, that Rays series really, or the end of that Rays series really took it up a notch. And, you know, there was a lot of the Jays players weren't very impressed with Chris Archer hitting a couple guys at 98. And it's kind of, from their perspective, it was like, hey, you're going to throw inside. Well, you better know what you're doing, or you're going to kill somebody. And that was a fair point. And then, you know, the Orioles series, I mean, you know, when that happened with Marcus Stroman last year, I mean, Buck Showalter and the Orioles really put his feet to the fire. And they, you know, Buck Showalter, the best of times, is, you know, a master of media manipulation and things of that nature. And, mm-hmm. and he got up on his pulpit and, you know, and cried foul and said he didn't know, questioned Stroman's reputation and all those things. But you're right about the O'Day thing. That pitch was a purpose pitch, sure, but he lost control of it. And it certainly could have done a lot of damage to Jose Bautista. And unfortunately for him, that, you know, O'Day is throwing, you know, high 80s, maybe 90, mm-hmm. and not mid 90s or higher, or that could have been really ugly. So, you know, that history is there. And then people kind of forget about this too, but that Jose Bautista ended up getting hit by O'Day later in that series against the Orioles last year, as retaliation for Aaron Loop hitting Nick Markakis. So there's just a lot of bad blood. You know, there was some rivalry between the teams. The Blue Jays were at one point challenging for the American League East title that the Orioles eventually won. And, you know, it shouldn't surprise anyone that it's spilling over into this year because guys have memories, guys have egos. And, you know, both those teams fancy themselves contenders for the AL East this year.
It's going to be fun to see Travis Snyder in town. Your 9 innings, your 9 innings with Travis Snyder up on the website. And he still retains a bit of a spot in the heart of a lot of Blue Jays fans, doesn't he?
Yeah, he really does. And it's funny because the Blue Jays went through this long period where they didn't have any quote-unquote premium elite prospects. And, you know, everyone really embraced Travis Snyder, and he was a great personality. You know, everyone remembers some of his fantastic quotes about food, you know, meats don't clash and things of that nature. And then that made him a bit more than just, you know, a player. It really created a connection between him and the fans. And he remained popular, and a lot of people were disappointed in, you know, not only the fact that he wasn't able to become a regular, but that in the way that that whole relationship played out. And I think a lot of people sympathized with him more so than with the team, although opinion on that split, I think, later on in his career here. But, you know, he's maintained a lot of contact with Blue Jay fans after he left and went to Pittsburgh and now back with Baltimore. And it'll be interesting to see how they react to him. I think this is going to be his first time back at the Dome since he left. And he'll be back with an American League East rival. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of reaction people give him tonight.
Shai, it was great to talk to you. I'll see you tonight at the ballpark.
Yep, see you, pal.
Shai Davidi, our MLB insider and Sportsnet. You can follow him on Twitter at Shai Davidi again. Orioles, Jays, tonight, 7 o'clock, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and on Sportsnet 1, Blue Jays Central. With Campbell and Zahn. That'll be live on Sportsnet 1 at 6:30. And then after the game, young Mr. Mike Wilner will take your calls on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That's on in town tonight. Certain basketball team is in action as well tonight. The Wizards. Is it tonight or Wednesday, boys? I'm drawing a brain cramp. Of course it's tonight. The Wizards and Toronto Raptors will play the second game of their series tonight at the Air Canada Centre. Of course, you know the Wizards winning the first game. A lot of questions being raised as a result of that loss to the Wizards, such as where the hell's James Johnson? And where the hell's James Johnson? And, of course, the other question, where the hell's James Johnson? Matt Devlin is our Raptors play-by-play voice. On Sportsnet, Matt Devlin will join us. We'll talk a little hoops. We'll take your calls. Maybe we'll ask you, where's James Johnson? It's a Jeff Blair Show. This is Sportsnet 590, The Fan.